for his people. His deed to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever.
Good morning. You know, at 11:55, I know what is foremost on the mind of most of you. So I shall know what to do. It shan't be too long. You know, the music video you have just watched is a local production. It is called 小人物, the Singson. Now, what is a 小人物? Who are the 小人物? 小人物 is the opposite of very important people. So they are the heartlanders, they are the ordinary people. Singson means heartbeat. So the song talks about heartbeat of the very ordinary people in the society. Many years back, there was a TV series called Extraordinary People, and people my age, around my age, probably would still remember this series, Extraordinary People. The show wasn't about the rich and famous, high and mighty, but rather ordinary people doing extraordinary things to others. And we see that happening around us very often, even today. Like a few weeks ago, there was this Caucasian woman who risked her life and jumped into the sea in East Coast Bedok and rescued and saved the life of three Malay teenagers. Like a young Singapore lady who is a lawyer by profession, very young, and she is a tennis enthusiast. And every Saturday morning, she would go and play tennis with the blind people, teaching them how to play tennis pro bono. Like a group of our young adults who very regularly after office work, after office hour, they will go and deliver food to our foreign migrant workers, sit down with them and eat with them out of their own pocket. Like ever since the church has involved ourselves in the Love in Action ministry some, I think, 15 years ago or 16 years ago, way back in 2001, our young people, many of our young people have actually participated in this project, and all together over the last 16 years, quietly, they have helped build, I think, Jason, how many? 21 houses. 21 houses in our neighboring country, helping the poor people to own a house. 7 in Thailand, 1 in Sri Lanka, and 13 in Cambodia. Now, these are all ordinary people doing extraordinary things, providing the needs of others. Many of them, we do not know their names. They are the unsung hero. They leave behind no statues or monuments, but they do things that inspire you and I. And in our Christian faith, we hear a lot about people like Peter, Paul, James, John, Moses, Abraham. Now, they are all great spiritual giants, and we thank God for them because we learn a great deal from their life testimony. But beside this group of spiritual giants, there are plenty of others, very ordinary, insignificant people who have been used by God to do extraordinary things. And many of these people, we do not know their names, but the Lord used them just as mightily. So this morning, we want to look at the lives and the examples of a few rather relatively unknown people in the Bible and see if we can find a bit of them in your life and in my life. Now, we all know Paul. How can we not know Paul? A great theologian, a die-hard missionary, a fervent servant of the Lord, and who has left behind a great legacy for all of us Christians to learn about the things of the Holy Spirit. And out of all the about 40 authors or so in the Bible, Paul was the most productive one. Now, if you take away some of the books that he wrote, the books of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and some other books, you virtually would have no more New Testament other than the four Gospels and the book of Revelations and a few other books. And the thickness of the New Testament would have been very much reduced. And it was also through Paul that the gospel was spreading far and wide among the Gentiles. So we cannot ignore Paul. We cannot ignore his teaching, his theology, his preaching in our pursuit of our Christian faith. But surrounding the life and ministry of Paul, there are actually two lesser known individuals who are instrumental in nurturing Paul to what he is. And we can say this, that without these two lesser-known individuals, there might not have been a Paul in the Bible. Now, who are these two individuals? Ananias and Barnabas. One is instrumental in helping Paul to connect himself into a new life in Christ, and the other is instrumental in helping Paul to be accepted into the church. First, Ananias. Who is Ananias? Now, we don't know much. He's a rather obscure, unknown figure in the Bible. It is very easy to miss him. All that we know, all that we are told, is that in the books of Acts, we are told that Ananias was a devout believer of God. And God used him to do something. And God asked Ananias to go and see Paul and pray for Paul. I think we haven't come to that slide as yet. God used Ananias to go and see Paul and pray for him to regain his sight when Paul was blinded by that great light. So Ananias was actually the bridge that connects Paul into his new life. And after that, we don't hear of Ananias anymore. God used him to play a small and yet significant role in this dramatic conversion of Paul's conversion. Now, if Ananias is the one whom God used to connect Paul into his new life in Christ, then the other person is instrumental in helping Paul to be accepted into the church. And he is Barnabas. You see, after Paul's conversion, the people in the church, including the disciples, they were very skeptical about Paul. Because of his past history, a persecutor of Christians, So the people were very, very doubtful. Is Paul's conversion actually real? Is Paul's conversion genuine? Or could he just be camouflaging so that he can penetrate into the church and therefore kill more Christians? So the leaders were very guarded in wanting to accept Paul into the fellowship. But the Bible says it was Barnabas who believed in Paul and asked the church to give Paul a chance to prove himself. And it was upon the recommendations and the encouragement of Barnabas that the church finally opened up and accepted Paul into the fellowship. Now, how does the Bible describe Barnabas? Now we can look at a slide. In Acts 11:24, the Bible says, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So we can say this, without Ananias, a relatively unknown devout believer, and without Barnabas, an encourager, there might not have been a Paul in the Bible. And even if there is a Paul, without Ananias and Barnabas, the effectiveness of Paul's ministry would have been very diluted. Now, Scripture is full of this relatively unknown, relatively insignificant people, but nevertheless, God uses them to play a supporting role. And they remain faithful to God to play the role in whatever role the Lord has assigned them with. And as a result, the wider Christian community is blessed. We look at the example of another person, Andrew. Andrew is the brother of Peter. Now, we all know that Peter. And the character of these two persons, Andrew and Peter, are just worlds apart. Now, if we were to compare these two persons, say, by model of the car, then Peter obviously is the Mercedes, the BMW, and then Andrew maybe is QQ. And Peter is the Rolex in the world of watches. Andrew, Timex, Casio. Peter is the leader. He belongs to the inner circle of Jesus Christ among the 12 disciples. Peter was the pillar of the church. And when Peter preached, 3,000 people were converted on a single day. But his brother, Andrew, rather relatively quiet, uncharismatic person. And in fact, Andrew only appeared in the scripture 3 times. The first time Andrew appeared, he brought his brother Peter to see Jesus. Second time he appeared, he brought a small boy with a lunchbox. And inside the lunchbox, there were these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he brought his small boy to see Jesus, and a miracle was performed. And the third time, which was also the last time he appeared in the scripture, he brought a small group of Gentiles to go and see Jesus. And after that, we don't hear of Andrew anymore. But we can safely say this, without Andrew, there would not have been a Peter. And then, who is this man who is instrumental in helping Peter to finally realize that gospel is open not just to the Jews, but God have also included the non-Jews, the Gentiles, in his overall salvation plan? Remember a centurion by the name Cornelius, a rather obscure and relatively unknown people. Now, how did the Bible describe this centurion Cornelius? Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 2. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And God gave Cornelius the privilege and honor to have a part to play in his overall salvation plan. Because it was through Cornelius that Peter began his outreach ministry to the Gentiles, to you and I. Now, the question I want to ask you is, what is it in Cornelius? Why did God choose Cornelius? What it is in Cornelius that God accorded him with such an honor that he was the one who went and tell Peter to reach out to the Gentiles? Is it because of his spirituality?
No.
Is it because of his leadership?
No.
His spiritual gifting?
No.
Then why did God choose Quirinius? What is it in Quirinius that God decided to use him as an instrument to do outreach ministry to the Gentiles? Maybe we can find a clue or two in Acts chapter 10, verse 4. How did the Bible describe this man, Quirinius? The angel said to Quirinius, when Quirinius one day was praying, the angel said, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Now, you see some common characteristic between Quirinius and Barnabas. They always give to the poor when they see there is need to give to the poor. Both Quirinius and Peter were praying when God connects with them. Both Ananias and Barnabas were praying when God connects with them. Is that a coincidence? Don't think so. I think there's a lesson here for all of us to learn. And the lesson is, God connects with us when we pray. And let me quote you one more example where God frequently used insignificant people to change the course of history. Now, this time we look at the Old Testament, and we look at the lives of two women. Now, there are many well-known women in the Bible. When we read the story of women, we will think of people like Esther, Ruth, Rachel, Sarah, Naomi, Deborah, Miriam, and Dorcas. But today we are not going to talk, not going to see the lives of these people. I want to introduce to you this morning the name of two women whom I guess, okay, I can only guess, whom I guess not too many of us would have heard of their names. Okay, look at the names of these two women, Shibra and Pua. Very relatively unknown name, yet the entire nation of Israel owed these two women a great debt of gratitude. Now, let me just do a simple survey. How many of us here in this hall have actually heard of, even the names is difficult to pronounce, how many of you here have heard of Shibra and Pua? Raise your hand. Good. A few of us, all right? So the rest of us, Deacon Sichuan, you can enroll them to your precept course and study the book of Exodus. Who on earth are Shibra and Pua? They are two midwives. They are midwives who have been assigned to attend to the Israelite woman in their childbirth. In those years when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. You see, when the Israelite population increased, the Egyptians were very frightened. They felt threatened. They were very concerned that one day, you see, the birth rate that these Israelite people give birth, one day may just outnumber the Egyptians and then take over the entire land. You know, so they were very, very worried. And therefore, in order to limit the population growth, the king of Egypt gave an order to these two midwives. Now, what is the order the king of Egypt gave? Look at Exodus 1:16. The Pharaoh told the two midwives, he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, now, if you see the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." So that was an order Pharaoh king gave to these two midwives. If it is a baby boy, even before the baby boy was born, just kill him. But if it's a girl, okay, let her live. Now, what did the Bible say? The Bible says, Shibra and Pua feared God. And lo and behold, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. They refused. They refused to do what the king of Egypt has ordered them to do. And so they disobeyed the king and let the boys live. Now, obviously, when the king heard that the two midwives did not did not carry out the instruction. He was obviously furious and very angry. So he summoned the two midwives before him and asked them. What did the king ask them? Let's look at the next slide. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys leave? Now, if you were the midwives, all right, okay, you allow the boys to leave. But when you stand before the king of Egypt, and the king of Egypt asks you, why did you do this? Why did you disobey my command? How would you have answered? This is where Shibra and Puah make an impact in the history of Israel. Now, with great confidence, with great wisdom, they replied the king. How did they reply the king? The midwives answered Pharaoh, now Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They give birth very fast. They are vigorous and they give birth before the midwives arrive. But he said, it's not that we do not want to kill the boys, you know, oh king. It's just that the labor was so fast and lo and behold, even before we arrive, everything is over already. The baby is already born. So there's no way that we can kill the boys. You see, not only they fear God, they are very wise, and God gave them the wisdom. While they recognize their responsibilities to obey the leaders, they also knew that God's law supersedes man's law. And they could not sin against God by killing the baby. Scripture says, God smiled on the courage of these two women and their commitment to do what is right. And so God was kind to the midwives and became even more. God was kind to the midwives and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. The faith and the destiny of Israel was never the same as a result of this powerful example of these two midwives, whose name we have hardly heard of. They feared God. They did what was right, no matter what the cost. So, brothers and sisters, there are example after example in the scriptures where God uses insignificant people, unknown people, people who are not leaders, so to speak, but they avail themselves to God. And so through them, miracles are performed. And because they are willing to do whatever role that the Lord has assigned them with, no matter how small the role may be, the ministry and kingdom of God is advanced. Ananias, Barnabas, Cornelius, Andrews, Shibra, Puah. Not well known or very little known, they have something in common. There's something in common among these people, and I think it is these common qualities that they exhibit that God finds in them a suitable instrument that God can use them. What are these common qualities? Let's look at it. Look at the next slide. They are righteous and God-fearing, and they give generously to those in need. They pray to God regularly. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. Down through history, God has used simple men and women, young people who are humble, who have a passionate longing to want to be close to God, and God used them mightily. And I always told my son, David, where are you, David? There he is. And I said, son, your best may not be the best, but if it is your best, the Lord will bless it. Your best may not be the best compared with others, but as long as it is your best, the Lord will bless it. And he, being an alumnus of ACS, who then cheekily replied me, you know what is the motto of ACS? The best is yet to be. At the age of 22, the best is yet to be. You worry me a little bit. But Ananias, Barnabas, Cornelius, Andrew, Shipra, Puah, ordinary people. But at least we know their names. Do you know that in the scripture there are still many, many ordinary people who do extraordinary things, but we never know their name because Scripture never discloses their names to us. But God knows who they are. Do you know the names of the four men who carried their paralytic friend on a mat and took all the trouble by climbing up to the rooftop and make an opening in the roof and digging through it and lower down the mat so that their friend would be healed by Jesus? You know their names? No, we don't, because the Scripture never disclosed to us their names. But the Scripture did say that Jesus was deeply impressed with their act of faith and their love for their friend. You know the name of that woman who came to Jesus with a jar of very expensive perfume and broke it and poured the perfume over the body of Jesus? And her act actually incurred the wrath of the disciples, and they chided the woman, they scolded the woman for wasting money. We do not know her name, but Jesus was so pleased. Jesus was obviously pleased with the act of her worship, and therefore Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. You know the name of that good Samaritan who risked his life and saved the life of another man who was of a different race? We do not know his name. The Bible never tells us his name. But Jesus said, go and do likewise. You see, when Jesus said, go and do likewise, he was actually responding to an earlier question asked by someone. Master, what must I do to receive eternal life? You want to receive eternal life? We call ourselves Reformed, evangelical, born-again Christians? Good. And go and do likewise. Do you know the name of that poor widow whose offering was praised by Jesus? You see, the poor widow story was very short and simple in the Bible. Only altogether, only four verses. Yet she has set an example for all of us to learn. How should we give our offerings to God? By giving two very small copper coins, Jesus says she has outgiven. She gave more than the others. And the gesture and her act was praised and acclaimed by Jesus Christ. You know her name? We don't know. So there are so many example after example of unnamed people whose faith and deeds were commended by Jesus. Samaritan woman at the well, the dying thief hanging next to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. The small boy who gives all that he has to Jesus, and a miracle was performed with five loaves and two fishes. The 72 disciples sent out by Jesus two by two. We never knew their name because the Bible never told us their name. Perhaps an even more impressive example of unnamed heroes is the faithful angels. You see, there are hundreds and millions of angels, but there are two names that were told to us. Or I can only think of two names. Maybe you can think of more. I can only think of two names where angels are names. Michael and Gabriel. And the rest go unnamed. You see, one time an angel was asked by Manoah. Manoah was the father of Samson. So Manoah asked an angel, let's look at Judges 13:17. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true? How did the angel reply? Next slide. The angel replied, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. The angel refused to accept the honor due only to God. Now, what do we learn from all these characters in the Bible? That God uses all kinds of peoples, even insignificant people. Earlier on, I mentioned the names of Peter, Paul, James, John, Moses, Abraham, Noah, and King David. They are all great spiritual giants, and we say we thank God for their life because we learn from them spirituality, we learn from them leadership, we learn from them church governance, we learn from them community effectiveness. But when God make you and I, when God make Liang Wenyan, when God make William Au, Jason Yeo, when God make Daniel So, God did not make a mistake. So there no need to ask God to use us like Peter, Paul, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, or Martin Luther. No need. God wants to use you just as you are because God respects who you are, including all your strengths and all weaknesses. You heard that, weren't you? I remember the act of one sister in our church. She has no gift of the gab. In fact, she stutters when she speaks, especially in a group setting. But she has a big heart. One day she went visiting in the hospital, visiting another sister who was seriously ill. Went to the hospital, she sat by the side of the bed. There wasn't much verbal communications between these two of them. She just sat down there and she held on the hands of that sister who was very ill by then already, and then took out a comb from the back. Took out the comb and slowly, gently comb whatever remaining strands of hair this patient had. Stroke by stroke, stroke by stroke. There's no need for words. At that moment, silence is golden. And I think the act of this lovely sister who has a big heart, combing the hair of that terminal ill patient, is more powerful and comforting than any words that this patient need to hear. I remember the act of a brother who is approaching 60 soon, yet every week without fail, this brother would go to the swimming pool at the Rainbow School next door, helping the Rainbow kids exercising in the pool. Now he's getting older, and each time when I see this brother, I get worried for him that one day he may wobble and then he just collapse in the pool. So how I wish that there will be some able-bodied man who can step forward and replace him so that he won't die in the pool. But this brother does it for the last decades, willingly, with a lot of joy, with a lot of love. I remember the act of yet another sister who, each time when someone needs medical aftercare, no matter how late it is, this sister will just go and clean out the wounds and apply dressing for the patients. Now, I'm not a medical person, but it has to be a very dirty job, right? Clean up the wounds and apply dressing. And it is not as if this sister has got nothing better to do now. She is a very busy person. Her schedule is full and packed to the brim every day. She just have a big heart and she just have 26 hours a day. I remember the act of this brother who, ever since QBC started the food distribution ministry some 13 years ago. Now, by the way, if you want to know, just like Pastor Lawrence said, number 11, so you've got to give more to the church. By the way, if you want to know where do your offerings go to, where do your offerings get channeled to, well, some of your offerings got channeled to helping the poor and needy. Because every month, this church packs 220 packs of food, costing us $15 per pack. And what go into the pack? 1 kg of rice, 1 tin of Milo, 1 bottle of cooking oil, biscuits, eggs. Sometimes we have got extra, some cereals. And for the last 13 years, this brother, together with a group of faithful volunteers, I call them faithful volunteers because they are faithful volunteers. They came On a Saturday afternoon, they'll pack all the food together and then we'll load it up to the van and then they'll drive to Red Hill and Delta areas and distribute all the 220 packs of food to the poor and needy. Many of these poor and needy, they are too weak, too sick to come down and pick up, collect their parcel. So we got a group of young people, and I'm very glad to the Lord. I see this group of young people who diligently, without fear, will come and help out. And so we get these young people, carry the bags and go up to 10 floors, 12 floors, or whatever number of floors, and distribute the food to them. This brother is not an on-stage man. But we see kindness in him and a group of all his co-workers. Each time when I see them quietly doing their work, my heart is full of gratitude and I thank God for the lives and ministry of this group of people. 1 month before my wife Jane crossed over to heaven, one night she sat down with me and she recounted the names of a few individuals who have impacted her life greatly. And the name of this brother was one of them. And on this brother, she said, he has the purest of heart among all men. This brother has the purest of heart among all men. And I couldn't have agreed more. For the sister who combed the hair of that patient, dying patient, for the brother who hold up the rainbow kids in the swimming pool, for the sister who clean up the wounds of all the patients, for this brother who has the purest of heart among all men, we see the face of Jesus in them. And they're all our church members, and we thank God for people like them. So we may be incapable of preaching an inspiring sermon, never mind. Incapable of answering difficult questions. Incapable of evangelizing to a big group of people. But we can all be kind. What will you be remembered for? Or what do you want to be remembered for? Your academic achievements, your number of directorships in the companies, your financial success may get you recognized by others, but it is the work you do in the life of those people who are in need of help that will live long after you are long gone. And these are the acts that you gain favor in the sight of Jesus Christ. We may not have many gifts, talents, or abilities, but every one of us can be marvelously used by God. Whatever gift, talent, ability, use it for the glory of God. Whatever influence that you have, no matter big or small, use it for the glory of God. You see, most of us, God doesn't give us a great deal of influence. But that is okay. You don't need to focus on the scope of your ministry, but you focus on the depths of your ministry. And so, if it is a simple hospital visitation, do it for the glory of God. If it is just simple ushering, be a good and warm usher. Let them, when you shake the people's hand, let them see Jesus in you. Do it for the glory of God. If it is just spending an evening eating with a foreign migrant worker like some of our young adults do, do it for the glory of God. Now, all the names of those people I mentioned and those names that are unknown, you see, their sphere of influence are not wide, but they all have made an impact in the life of others and they all have been favorably applauded by Jesus Christ. And Jesus called them faithful, my good and faithful servant. What are the common threads that bind all these people together? What are the common threads that bind this sister who went hospital visitation, all these people? What are the common threads that binds them all together? They are righteous and God-fearing. They give generously to those who are in need. They pray to God regularly. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. Their life, their soul live, is a light of testimony. And it is your testimony that will carry you through into eternity, not your PhDs, not your bank accounts, not your title as a marketing manager or sales director, but your testimony. And so build up your testimony, not your resume. In closing, I just want to read to you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. What should be your takeaway today after the worship service? Pray to God. Make a commitment to God that you will be a righteous and God-fearing man and woman. That you will give generously. Quantum isn't that important, but you give generously to those who are in need. And that you pray to God regularly. And you are filled. You are a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And build up your testimony. May the Lord bless each of us, and we'll sing a closing hymn. We'll get the worship team to come and lead us. And may this hymn be a hymn of dedication to the Lord. God, you be our vision. Thank you.